to the March 2025 episode of In the Distance Oblivious Playlist Podcast. It's a podcast about music
by two people who love music. She's the ever-danceable Phoebe Fowler.
And he's the Hammond organ-loving Big Al Hammond. Every month, we pick 11 songs of pretty much any genre or any time period to be put into a changing Spotify playlist. Our podcast talks about some of the songs we pick and anything else about music that might come into our heads.
Our podcast is never intended to be overly professional. It's basically unscripted, just two random people sitting around talking about music and why we often like,
but sometimes dislike,
each other's music tastes. Welcome to March, and I will say that we're recording this in February, and it's
actively
fucking
snowing.
Pouring down snow.
Yeah, we're supposed to get what, like 7, 8, 9 inches?
We're supposed to get like 23 inches, followed by impending doom.
Of course, and I don't have any toilet paper, so I'm fucked.
Yeah. Well, that's when you go out and you buy an old-fashioned newspaper, you know?
Like, I saw some leaves somewhere, so, you know.
Right.
Okay, bye.
So this is not only March, but this is also one of our themed playlists, which we're very excited about. This month is all about, and this is the third time we've done this.
This is
our unconventional covers. So everything we're gonna bring you is the songs in our playlist. Everything that we bring you is not only a cover, but we like covers that are. Take an existing song, hopefully a song that people may be familiar with, but not even necessarily. But then you take that song and you rip it apart and make it into something completely new.
Yes, you start it from scratch.
Yes.
We love that.
Which we like. We'll also just say, in case you happen to be new here, what we do here on the pod is we have this Spotify playlist that we do every month, and we pick songs for that, and we briefly talk about those, and then we also just sort of talk about music in general, and that's kind of the whole gig that we have going on here. But we do have, thank you very much, Tina Tambourine, and we also have stupid sound effects, we have stupid jokes, we are stupid, it's all good fun.
Hey, speak for yourself, bud.
Thank you.
I'm the one that forgot the toilet paper.
County Converse Memorial Whistle. So talk a little bit about what you see as being a good cover. Like, what do we look for here, in your own words?
I'm always trying to answer this question for myself,
same.
You know?
And that's part of the fun of, like, what is this a good cover, and what makes a good cover?
I love it when I come across a song, right, that is... I'm trying to think of an example. We'll use this because this has been in the playlist.
Mm-hmm.
When in Rome, The Promise.
Yes.
That, I would have to say, is one of my guilty pleasures. I fucking love that song.
Yes.
I can't explain why I love it. I just do, right?
You like the original.
I like the original.
I hate the original, but I love the cover.
The cover is leagues better, in my opinion.
Yep.
But I still love the original.
And
song.
Listeners, the original was done by the 80s
late when
80s
in Rome.
Band.
Yeah.
When in Rome. The cover
anybody
was done.
Anybody remember that? Nobody?
Nobody.
Awesome.
Nobody.
Crickets. Cool.
The cover was done. The cover that we had was done by Sturgill Simpson. And
it's fucking
killer, man.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
But for me, that's what makes a good cover.
Yes.
It's a song that I like to think of as, you know, pretty well known or whatever, but it is completely changed.
Yes.
Not only the style, the meaning of the song,
the mood of it, yeah,
everything is different, and it's a different song.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I love covers like that,
and I think speaking just for myself here, I think we have some candidates for this month.
We do.
That,
I'm so excited.
That might fill that bill as well.
Yes. Yeah, but what do you think? What makes a good cover for you?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this a little in the past. What you said is totally true, like taking an existing song, breaking it down, making something new out of it. But we also sort of think about, is this a good cover just because it's different?
Right.
Or is it a good cover because it's different and also ends up being a really good song?
You know, I have to admit, like, when we were doing, going over our picks and everything, trying to decide what we were going to do, I was struggling with that. I was like, okay, this is definitely different, but is it good?
Yes.
Do I know what's good anymore? And I wonder if that's what artists do when they make a cover.
I bet.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, how do you begin to break that song down? How do you get that constant buzzing out of your head, that original song, right? Mm-hmm. How do you transform it? How do you make it your own?
And you can make it different. You can, like, do completely different instrumentation. Mm-hmm. You can do a different tempo. You can do all kinds of things. But is that result good?
Exactly.
You know, that's the larger question.
It's like you, at least I did, briefly kind of lost the ability to determine what is good.
Right, right.
It's like, I don't know anymore.
And I was like really proud of my 10 submissions because mm-hmm. they are really different. But then I went back and listened to some of them and I was like, this is really different, but I'm not convinced all 10 of them are actually really good.
Right.
So, but that, you know, that's part of the fun. What else have we been doing? Talk about the rest of our lives here. What's going on?
Well, we have been trying to see more live music.
We
were fortunate enough to do that last night.
We did. We went to our, I think it's safe to say our favorite local music venue.
Oh, definitely.
Reveille in Carytown in Richmond, Virginia, which we just love that spot.
It's such a great place.
They do such a good job. They were slightly oversold and slightly out of sorts last night, but they still put on a great show.
They really did.
The band was called The Potluck, which is actually, calling them a band may be a stretch. It's basically five local white dudes that play the blues mm-hmm. and other stuff that have played with a bunch of different people over the years. They're mostly older guys, not old, except for Mr. Steve Bassett, who is a Virginia musical legend on the Hammond B3 organ.
Man, that performance was just so amazing. Yeah. I was blown away.
Yeah. Yeah, not everything they did we loved, but the stuff that we loved was kind of life-altering.
You couldn't stay in your seat. I was bouncing around and everything.
But the band also features Daniel Clark on piano, and we've seen him, and I've forgotten, then I should have looked this up. We saw him with a jazz trio, I think.
It was a trio, yes.
Also at the Reveille. He's a wonderful piano player.
Man, that was a good
amazing
show.
Yeah. And we spoke to him briefly after the show and complimented him on being able to play really cool, funky jazz and also
play
the blues.
How do you go from one to the other like that?
But he was amazing. Steve Bassett on the organ was, and vocals was amazing.
It was great.
The amazing Willie Williams on guitar was lights out great. It was a super fun band. If you ever are in the area and get a chance to check them out, we highly recommend
it. And it was an inexpensive show.
It was a very $10 tickets. You can't beat that.
You can't beat that today. But we like doing stuff like that, you know?
We love doing stuff like that. And what a treat.
Well-timed, because now the snowpocalypse has hit.
Exactly.
So we got our little music in.
We won't be able to leave the house for 6 months, so. But that's pretty much all we've been up to this month. I think coming up, I believe one of us has a birthday coming
it's
up
in
this month. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
We have sort of talked about some tentative plans, but nothing exotic or anything, I don't think.
Every year it comes by and I'm like,
Yeah. And then, you know, as the weather hopefully at some point warms up, get out and do a little camping, a little outdoor fun, a little
can't
wildness.
Wait. Yep. I think I should just change my birthday month.
Yeah.
To like the following month, so I can actually experience the outdoors mm-hmm. and nice weather.
We also have a long and studied history of me having bad allergy reactions on Phoebe's birthday, which
you'll be out for the count.
Which adds to the excitement for everyone, I'm sure. So we're gonna take our usual little break here, and we don't record our actual picking ceremony, but we're gonna come back in a moment. we're going to tell you about the songs that we did pick for our covers playlist, and we'll give you a brief rundown on those songs, and then come back after that and devote the rest of the show to talking about music and whatever else we feel like talking about.
That's the best part.
Exactly.
Looks like Big Al Hammond is the winner.
Only because of the squirrely ball.
You have the squirrely ball of confusion.
We tied.
We did tie. Congratulations.
Thank you. I was surprised. And I was not only surprised, but like we have a really good playlist.
We say that every time.
We say that every time. And we're almost always right.
Agreed.
Yep.
So we fucked up. All right. We messed up. We were supposed to do our predictions earlier, and we realized it, and we wrote it on the back of our ballot sheets.
We right? tried to guess how we will do.
Right.
We failed to mention that earlier.
But we did write it ahead of time, at least, before we picked everything. So, do you have yours ready?
I do.
Do you have your predictions?
I do.
So, we'll get into our predictions.
Mm-hmm.
We tied. We both got 8 right, which means we got 2 wrong. All right. My prediction for me was 8.
Mm-hmm.
My prediction for you was 7.
My prediction? 8 and 8.
Oh, my gosh. You know, that's the trick, right? If you just guess them both that way, you'll be right every single time.
Well, I don't know. I think I just got a little lucky, but I'll take it.
I'll take the
win, the tie, and I'll also take
it's well deserved. You earned
getting my prediction right. So now we're gonna go over briefly what those 11 songs that actually got in were. Our first song is Hotel California, covered by the Gypsy Kings from the album Volare, the very best of the Gypsy Kings, which came out in the year 2000. The original, of course, is a famous iconic Eagles song. The Gypsy Kings have been around since 1979.
Wow.
I thought they were more of a Mexican-based band, but actually they're Spanish, and they play a mix of Catalan, rumba, flamenco, and salsa. Thank you.
You're welcome. Our second song is by Cat Clyde and Jeremy Albino. Their song, It Hurts Me Too, from their album Blue Blue Blue, released in 2021. This is a cover, well, popularized by Elmore James in the 40s. And Cat Clyde was actually already in the playlist before with Jeremy Albino, with their song Been Worrying.
I think so.
Right?
She's been in a couple times on her own
yes,
as well.
Yes, she's been in with Pop Took My Totems and Hawk in the Tree. Our third song is by Jackie Wilson, Light My Fire. We all know and love, well, I won't say we all love this song by The Doors. We talked about this, right? That this doesn't really seem like a Doors song, right?
Very much so.
Jackie Wilson was an R&B and soul mainstay, was briefly in the Dominoes, and everybody should go listen to him more.
Yep. Amazing voice. Our next song is Heart of Glass by Nick Shoulders. It's a single from 2022. The original, of course, is made famous by Blondie. It was written by Chris Stein and Debbie Harry of that band. And Nick is just such a gift. Like, check out some of his other stuff. He's a really strong, fun singer with a hilarious sense of humor, but also thoughtful and interesting. Also, if you get a chance, check out his excellent whistling talents on the song The World Needs Sissies Too.
Coming in at number 5 is Kelsey Lu with her song I'm Not In Love. Originally done by 10cc, released in 1975. Does anybody else know this song, or is it just me? All right, I'm obsessed with this song, and it just got under my skin, and I had to pick it. I had no other choice in the matter.
So our next song, I sort of threw Phoebe a curve here with the All-Star picks. I gave her two songs that were not initially submitted. The one that got in that she picked was Hazy Shades of Winter by the Bangles, originally done by Simon and Garfunkel. We think this was a single from the Less Than Zero soundtrack in 1987, but we're not 100% certain of that. It's an interesting cover, and I think I like it way better,
this is better.
Than the original.
Yeah, definitely better.
Our next song is the cover of Thunderstruck by the band Hell Songs from the wonderfully titled album Hymns in the Key of 666 from 2008. The original, of course, is an AC/DC song, and we like it so much because it sounds absolutely nothing like AC/DC.
I have to say, this is your second best cover.
Thank you.
It is going in the all-time best covers playlist.
Thank you. And most of the covers they do are like this. They're sort of very metal-ish songs done in a very non-metallic way. We like this a lot. And it's also just a beautiful song.
It really is. I have here in my notes, well, you might win the playlist, because if you can turn AC/DC into a good song, you deserve an award. So there you go, buddy.
Our next song really warmed my heart and filled my heart with love for my wonderful girlfriend Phoebe when she picked the Blood, Sweat, and Tears cover of the Billie Holiday song, God Bless the Child. I just love this song, and I'm so happy that it got in. Like, we can talk more about this band and the history of this band a little later, but this is such a great cover.
I think I said earlier that this is one of my most favorite songs ever, and I had never heard this cover.
Really?
So I was just completely blown away. Our next song is Wicked Game, covered by Abraham Alexander. It's a single that was released in 2023. We, of course, know and love this song by Chris Isaak. I can't get enough of it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to submit it only because it's such an iconic song, but just listen to the song, you'll understand why I had to get in.
It grew on me big time.
Our 10th song makes me very happy to introduce Baby Rose, her song Landslide that she released in 2024. This is, of course, as everyone knows, a Fleetwood Mac song that they released in 1975. Her voice is just liquid gold.
She's amazing.
It's a stunning cover.
This was the best song you had in the playlist by far.
We have to thank TikTok for that.
Thank you, TikTok. And thank you, Phoebe. And thank you, Baby Rose. We'll close out this month's playlist with Exit Music for a Film by Scala and the Kolakny Brothers from the album Dream On in 2004. The original, of course, is done by Radiohead. Scala is a Belgian girls' choir. The Kolakny Brothers, one brother plays the piano, the other brother conducts. The phrasing on this song is just so amazing, and there's like serious classical nuance going on here.
This is your best cover.
Thank you.
Yes, this is number one.
They do a lot of interesting covers. Perhaps unsurprisingly, I found the band through their cover of the Divinyls' 1991 classic, I Touch Myself. There's an entire subgenre of amazing Radiohead covers, and this is right up there with some of the most interesting ones for
me. It's wonderful.
Well, I'm not at all surprised that we have 11 really good covers. Like, every time we do this, I'm just amazed at how much fun this is.
It just makes me happy that there are so many songs and so many good covers out there that you will not run out of interesting, amazing things to find.
We really found some really good. I think every time we do this, we find good stuff, but I think this is the best. I think this is the best collection we've done.
It only gets better from here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Are there any in particular that you want to talk about? Either they can be ones that did get in, that didn't get in, that they're yours, they're mine.
Okay. You know what? I have probably a couple.
Yeah, absolutely. Give me one.
We will just start off on this, one that got in, my song,
yes.
The Kelsey Lou, I'm Not in Love.
Tell me about it.
I feel the need to explain my position.
I think we have a little disagreement on this, and that's a good thing to
talk
about.
I'm not even sure it's a disagreement.
Uh-huh.
I agree with you that.
And why do you think... Why do you think I wouldn't like this song? Because I think this is interesting. I have two reasons.
See, okay. I think that you wouldn't like this because it's doing too much, and there's too much weird background shit going on, and there's too much of like the ending part is weird. I don't know what the fuck is going on there. Mm-hmm. But it just seems like one of those songs that is like very produced, and I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. But in this, and it's very super atmospheric, it can get into the space of being just too much.
It is.
Yes. However, I know it's bullshit because I picked it. However, as I said earlier.
You just like it.
I just really like it. And I initially submitted it without even intending to pick it, but it got so stuck in my head. Okay, I'm talking about to the point of like, I can't just leave me in peace. Let me just live my fucking life.
Yeah.
Like, I can't get away from
with this
song.
In your head. Yeah.
That's why I picked it.
I have two things to say about this song.
Okay.
I don't mind I don't mind it as a cover. I think it's fun. I think she has a beautiful voice. She's got some talent. She's got some chops. Two things. One, it's a little bit too much like the original.
Uh-huh.
It's a little bit like there's not really that much different going on. I mean, obviously she's a woman. The original was done by men. I grant that. But, like, it's not really that different. Two, Mark fucking Kozelek. Like, that is the definitive cover of this song for me. Like, I'm sorry, but, like, this is not that good.
I think this is the perfect time to admit that I like the original a lot.
Yeah.
It's super cringe. It's my guilty pleasure.
Oh, I love the original.
I love that song.
The original. Big boys don't cry. That might be our Easter egg right there. Uh-huh. No.
So any excuse?
I don't mind this song. I think it's a fine cover.
All of your points are accurate.
Mm-hmm.
I have no defenses for myself
other
than the fact that I'm obsessed with this song.
Yeah.
So here we are.
There you go.
Do you have one for me?
I have a couple that I want to talk about.
All right.
Let's talk about the Eric Burdon and War, the Paint It Black. Did you like it?
No, I did like it.
And why did you like it? And what about it appeals to you, either musically or culturally or anything? Or not? Like what appeals to you or doesn't?
No, it appeals to me. Okay, so I've listened to countless people over the years. War is one of them, the people that I've listened to. It was just a fun cover.
Yeah.
I really liked it. The energy was just like super on it and kind of what, I don't know, it's just like looking at the other side of the coin of this song and it kind of hit all of those marks for me.
Mm-hmm.
Super entertaining. I really liked it. But I just wanted, I feel like it needed something else.
Uh-huh.
Like it
needed one more element.
Exactly.
Somehow.
Exactly.
They're such an interesting band. Do you know who Eric Burdon was?
No, I don't.
So this whole story of this band is a really, really interesting story. Eric Burdon was the lead singer for the British invasion band, The Animals.
Oh, duh.
House of the Rising Sun.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's a stupid white boy Brit, you know.
But he's got some soul.
He does, but he had that role,
mm-hmm.
and then he gave that up and like went and found this bunch of young, primarily black but mixed race band in L.A. of these kids,
right?
And he like hooked himself up with
them. That's fucking cool.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And they, like, if you do a deep dive into their music, they were a really interesting band. Mm-hmm. And they did, like, they were sort of a jam band before
yes.
jam bands became. So there's, and maybe we'll include a link to it somehow. There is a 13-minute version of this song on one of their early albums that's, like, pretty fucking great.
Man.
They did a lot of stuff of, like, long 10-minute jams mm-hmm. of just them being wild and playing horns being funky.
Can I admit something?
Yeah.
Okay. Just listening to this reminded me of how much I liked War. And, like, wow, I should listen to them more. I do remember, though, like, when I was listening to them, I don't know if this is the same for you. It takes so much out of me to, like, pay attention to everything.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on, and it's, like, I need to bring all of my shit to, like, hear
yeah.
everything that's
yeah,
going
you don't
on
listen
here.
To this shit casually.
Right.
Right.
It's like, this is, like, very smart, very interesting.
Yeah.
Hitting
yeah.
music.
Yeah,
and,
everything
which is
about
a good
them.
Thing. It's just, like, it's like, oh, wow, okay, it's been 4 hours. I need to, like,
yes.
I need
yes.
to, like, wipe off my sweat here.
I spent a couple hours listening to them a couple nights ago. And just
yeah,
like,
there's no just listening to one or two songs,
yep.
right, when you listen to them.
Yeah.
It's a half-day session.
They're interesting, too, because I remember them from when I was a kid, and they would have songs on the radio that were good songs and good
mm-hmm.
hits. And, like, they're fun, you know, Cisco Kid, you know, like, The World is the Ghetto, right? They had songs on the radio that were very catchy, very pop songs, very fun hits to listen to. But then if you go back and listen to the albums, man, that band,
that's
like,
good shit.
That band had some soul and some coolness.
We should listen to them sometime.
Yeah.
Just sitting around.
Absolutely.
On a day like today when Snowmageddon is upon us.
Exactly. You got another song you want to talk about?
I do.
Tell
All
me.
Right. So one that didn't get in and one I think that neither of us was going to pick for reasons we will get into.
Yes.
The Irma Thomas, Time Is On My Side.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't pick it because it was definitely one of those, like, technically not technically sort of songs where, yes, it is technically a cover.
Right.
However.
Right.
It's just like, it's one of those songs that were done, like, written by.
Yeah.
It
is a cover, but. It is the popular
right.
version
exactly.
came after Irma Thomas's version. The popular version was a cover of this song, basically.
Exactly, yes.
Right.
So Irma Thomas covered this song.
Right.
And with lyrics added, I believe, by Jimmy Norman in 1964 in April.
Right.
And then the Rolling Stones heard her version.
And
they imported music
that.
From wherever.
Yep.
And covered it in June of 1964, so a few months later.
And it became a huge breakthrough hit for them.
Right. So, I mean, initially I heard the Rolling Stones version first. Like,
as did almost everybody.
And then, you know, years later I heard this song.
Mm-hmm.
I know, I love it. But it is in one of those areas of, like, could be considered... Is this really a cover?
Right.
This is, like, the first.
And I, you know, like,
version.
I would be fine with it only because, like, one, our rules are not
right.
overwhelmingly strict
this
about
is
any
not
of this
a professional
shit.
Podcast.
But also just because it's a great song, and neither one of us really noticed or cared that it was not strictly a perfectly defined cover. But anyway, whatever.
We're making it up as we go.
We are. are there any others you want to talk about?
I do want to know what you thought of the Noella Black Hole Sun.
I liked that a lot initially, and I was going to vote for it initially because I think it kind of fits in with a bunch of stuff that's in the playlist this
mm-hmm.
time of being songs that were initially sort of dark and... this wasn't really metal, but it was definitely sort of dark of its time. But I don't think I liked it quite enough.
Yeah.
I liked, like, it a lot, and I think
it started really
interesting
high
cover.
For me.
Same.
Yeah. Yeah, I do like the cover. It's just, I think there was better stuff in here to choose
uh-huh.
from.
I agree.
And I don't know if you feel the same way, but I actually really like the original of this song.
I do too. And I don't... Who did it?
Soundgarden.
Yeah.
Right?
And I'm not really a Soundgarden fan.
Same,
but I
but
like
this song.
I like the song, yeah.
All right, do you have another one that you want to talk about?
Well, I said earlier, and I will say it again, it made me really happy that you picked the Blood, Sweat, and Tears song.
Yay!
I just like... And they're another band that, kind of like Eric Burdon and War, they're a band that has a really interesting and sort of mixed, I guess I would say, legacy. So Blood, Sweat, and Tears was originally formed by famous session man and Dylan collaborator Al Kooper. He left the band after their first album, which almost nobody even knows exists, but it was sort of a breakthrough record of being, I won't say progressive, but it was very genre bending. Okay. In that, like, you had all these cats with some pretty serious jazz chops, and Al Kooper, who was experimental and had sat in with Dylan a bunch of times. Famously, Al Kooper was the dude who got invited to a Dylan session, didn't really know how to play keyboard. Somebody sat him down at a keyboard and came up with the organ riff in Like a Rolling Stone just by like putting his fingers on keys in funny ways. He left the band right after their first record. They brought in this cat, David Clayton Thomas, who is their frontman vocalist, who you hear singing on this, who was sort of the face of the franchise, for lack of a better word. And he's got a serious voice. But they also got a lot of heat for touring in Vietnam to support the troops in Vietnam. But they were seen at the time as sort of being war sympathizers and supporting the war rather than supporting the troops. And their legacy is very clouded based on that sort of governmental collaboration in a time when that was very much frowned upon. But they remain a band with really serious chops.
Seriously. It's like a similar thing with war. It's like, all right, I'm sitting down, I'm getting my water, I'm getting my snacks. This is a full day session that I'm paying attention
to. Yeah, yeah. And those cats knew how to play some jazz
stuff. They knew
stuff.
What the fuck they were doing. Oh, I just love that blend.
It's also interesting to me. I remember reading, and we talked about this earlier, I remember reading how much their drummer, Bobby Colombi, was influential, not only in starting the band originally with Al Kooper, but sort of in their whole, like, he was kind of the leader of the band, and you don't really think of a drummer as having that role.
Right.
But if you listen to this song carefully, like, a lot of the groove and a lot of what makes that song really punch is interesting little percussion things that he's doing. And I love that. I love, like, listening to him and like the subtleties that he added to that song.
Well, I guess that just means we have to listen to it again.
We do. And you should too, listeners.
So we thought we'd take the time to talk about some songs here.
Yes.
Some that are underappreciated, maybe.
Yes.
Some that the other probably hates. And some that we may or may not agree on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Sort of course, these are songs that did not make it to the greatest hits.
Exactly.
Any greatest hits playlist.
Exactly. Things that one or both of us thinks are greatest hits that were not actually greatest hits.
Or just really like and want to force the other person to listen to.
That's fair, too. And we can. I think it'd be fun to do sort of a little occasionally recurring feature of this.
I'm happy with that. Yeah. I'm sure we have several songs that could make that little segment.
Absolutely.
All right. So the first song that I selected for us.
Oh dear.
Is Shoo Shoo, Sad Pony Gorilla Girl.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a song that I really love that Big Al fucking hates.
Yes.
I think this is the only one that I've submitted that he actually hates.
You're not wrong.
Therefore, I will continue to play.
You'll continue to push it down my throat at any possible chance. And I know you like weird music. I know you stuff that's different. But what... And I say this not to poke fun at you.
No.
Tell me why I should like this song.
See, the thing is, I never really expect anyone to like the music that I listen to.
Yes.
Even you.
Yes.
There are things that I think you would like, but it does not surprise me that you don't like this.
Sure.
So I'm not sure I have an answer to your question.
Okay.
I think it's the only way that I can describe it is I love everything about this song. I love his voice. I like that, like, crackling thing that he's about to do. Mm-hmm. I like the intensity, uh-huh. the weird emo.
It's definitely got major vibe. Emo vibes yes. that I can see you liking.
I do love that shit. I eat it up.
No, I don't expect me to ever like this song. I guess I just don't get why anybody would like it. But
okay, but why? Can you describe why?
I just don't hear anything redeeming in it other than somebody who needs attention really badly.
If it makes you feel any better, mm-hmm. I have played Sad Pony Gorilla Girl by Shushu for several other people.
Mm-hmm.
They fucking hate it. They don't even get through the song. They hate it.
Yeah,
they hate it.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sure, people hate it, but I love it.
I'm not alone in my good taste.
I would pay the $40 to see them.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Well, you said you're not alone in your good taste.
Yes.
This is kind of why I love doing this. There are some songs, like, for the most part, we agree in, like, our relationship, we agree on a lot of things. And then there's this, one or two things
that... It wouldn't be any fun if we agreed all the time.
Exactly.
Yep.
We dig our heels in, and we're digging our heels in about this song. But moving on, you're picking one for me next, right?
So I wanted to bring up the cover of Pink Floyd's Comfortably Numb, done by The Bad Plus. I just think this is so dark and so wonderful and so out there.
It's really, really good. I agree.
You like it?
Yeah, I like it.
Somehow I got the impression you weren't crazy about this song to begin with.
No, yeah. I love this song.
And it kind of fits the song.
Yes.
It's like, it's got
Nailed it, for sure.
Yeah. It's so different and so weird, but also instantly recognizable.
Mm-hmm. It's not easy to do a really good cover, I think. I mean, sure, if the song... I was going to try to say this nicely. But if the song that you're covering is shit, take an AC/DC song, and you do something that's moderately good, people are like, oh my God, what an amazing cover, right? But it's hard to do a super recognizable song, right? Like Pink Floyd. And do it so well, I think.
I also think it's hard to do a cover of a song that people know really well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to do a cover of a song that, frankly, probably lots of bar bands and lots of lesser artists try to cover. And it ends up sounding
there's so
too
many tribute
much
bands
the same.
And, yeah.
Much credit that they took a song that was super well known and did something out in left field with it. But also something, it's out in left field, but it really works with
what the
song is about.
No, this is really good. Did you think you said you thought I didn't like this?
Yeah, I thought you didn't like this.
No.
I didn't think you hated it, but I didn't think you
really
got into this. Good to know.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Okay. What I really want to know
is
why the fuck you don't like Table for Glasses by Joseph.
I don't mind it. We talked about this a little bit when this in the playlist. I just never quite got... I get why I'm supposed to like Joseph.
Fuck the band, okay?
Yeah.
Why don't you like this song?
Oh, I don't mind the song.
I mean, see, the way you said it like that in your facial expression.
It's a little too Joseph-like, you know? It's a little too, like... And I know it's
what
a cover.
What does that mean?
But, like...
Have you heard the original?
I remember either you played me the original or I went back and heard the original when it was in the playlist
not long ago. They're kind of one of those bands that, like, if I'm maybe in the perfect mood for them, I get it.
Okay.
But that mood hasn't really happened since, like, 2019, you know?
I don't know. Maybe I'm just... This is one of the songs that I've always liked, and this is a cover.
And tell me again who did it originally?
Jimmy Eat World.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is a cover of their song. And I've always liked the song anyway, but I think that this is better than the original.
I feel like I did hear the original, and I feel like I do like this better.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see why it's something of improvement. But it still doesn't really do that much for me.
That's just so weird to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This sounds like a song that Big Al would like. And this is a perfect example of, no matter how well you think you know someone, do you actually know them?
Exactly. And also, there's no accounting for taste, good and
there's
bad.
Not.
You know?
No.
It's like, we can think somebody will totally get something and it mm-hmm. will totally appeal to them.
And then they don't.
And we can be wrong.
And then you question, huh?
You question life itself.
Who are they?
Yep. Who is this person? So when we talk about my favorite songs, I'm always going to go back to the Michael Chapman Aviator.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there are elements of this song that you really do appreciate, and I think there are some elements of this song that you really don't appreciate.
Let's just call a spade a spade.
Okay.
Elements, as in, his voice bothers me.
His voice bothers you. And that's wrong, but that's also understandable. I get why you feel that way.
Oh, you do?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Again, I don't agree with it, but I think his voice is unusual, and maybe his voice in some way doesn't fit what's going on, but I kind of feel like it does fit. But tell me why it bothers you.
The problem is, I'm not sure I can even put...
Mm-hmm.
my finger on
right,
it.
Right.
I listen to it. I listen to the song. I listen to the mood of everything. And I'm bothered.
Uh-huh. I think his voice, to me, it has this sort of loose, rambling, lost in the desert, slightly drunken
yes.
kind of quality.
Maybe it's the timbre. It's slightly higher than I'm imagining for that mood, though.
Huh.
Like, something seems off in that respect.
Interesting.
I love the phrasing that he uses. I like the slightly, what I'm calling the drunk aspect
uh-huh,
going on
uh-huh.
in his voice. It has to be something, and like, it sounds slightly too high or whatever than what I want the song to be.
Man, I don't know. Like, part of why I love this song so much is like the way the violin and the cello.
Mm-hmm.
interplay with each other and also with his voice. And to me, I kind of feel exactly the opposite. I feel like his voice and the violin and the cello are all kind of at the same, they're all kind of the same quality of instrument that are all talking to each other.
That feels off to me.
Okay.
I get what you're saying, because like hearing that just now, the cello come in
uh-huh.
and it sounds too much like his voice, and it's just, I'm thrown off.
Uh-huh.
Like, I just had a thought. I would love to hear, and she'll never do it, but Lucinda Williams do this song?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if we've looked into whether or not this song has been covered, and
mm-hmm.
if so, by who. And
it just seems like one of those songs that you don't cover, right?
I don't disagree. And I also think part of the magic of it does involve the instrumentation
mm-hmm.
and the interplay between the instruments, but also the interplay between the musicians who are playing the instruments.
Yes.
And I think that would be hard to duplicate and
yes.
or even
attempt
to. Even if you're not trying to duplicate it, this would be a hard song to cover. But I agree, yeah. Like, somebody like her would be a good person to attempt to cover
mm-hmm.
the song.
At least in this song. I should go back and listen to his other stuff, too. Maybe I might feel
differently. I've listened to a lot of his other stuff.
Yeah.
And none of it rises to this level.
Is it like the Lisa Hannigan effect? I hate to call it that, but now
right.
I'm calling it that.
He also did a lot of stuff, if I'm remembering right. He did a lot of other stuff like collaborating with other musicians that almost don't even sound like it's even the same artist at all.
I feel like I'm only calling it the Lisa Hannigan effect because that was super early. It was what in the first playlist that we did. And we went back and we were all excited to listen to the rest and we were like, oh.
Yeah, right. It never quite got there.
So only the Lisa Hannigan effect in that. That was the first one that we did.
Well, it's like having Tommy John surgery, you know? It's like
yes.
You wouldn't, you know, if Bert Blyleven had been the pitcher, you know, we all would be talking about, you know.
It seems like a mouthful.
I got to go get my Bert.
Just Bert for short.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I think you'll appreciate this one.
Mm-hmm.
This is Sexual Healing. By My Bubba, of course. It's a cover of Marvin Gaye's Sexual Healing. Everybody knows this song.
Yep. That's a great song. It's a great original. It's a great cover.
It is. So this for me is one song that I liked. I knew you really, really liked.
Mm-hmm.
But I had reservations.
Why did you have reservations? Just because you shouldn't be covering Marvin?
Yes. That's legit. And like the cover is so like, well, the original is so well known that, ooh, why would you? It's like touching an Aretha song. Like, why would you do that? But
and the cover is different enough that it's on the one hand it's different, but like you said, on the one hand it's like, don't be messing, don't be fucking with Marvin.
But you know, I have to say, this is really fucking good.
Yeah. This is one that I'd kind of forgotten about. Like,
oh, yay.
Yeah, no, that's a good thing. Like, we listeners, we go back and listen to our all-time playlist with some regularity, both together and separately. And, like, this is one that doesn't come up for me often. And talk to me about why, if you do like it, why, what makes it work as a song without being Marvin Gaye and without having the soulfulness.
Okay. It does not have the soulfulness, but it has something about both of the voices harmonizing together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's scaled back. There's not a whole lot of production going on. It's them and their guitar or whatever. And it's like, it's almost like this, there's a word for it, sort of like a whispering singing voice that you do.
Yeah.
It makes it sexy, so it still has that, like, a sense of rawness to it that I really, really like, and I'm glad that they kept in this.
Also, I'll say, I completely agree with what you said. Also, I'll say, it's kind of fun having, and I don't know anything about My Bubba or who they are or their sexuality or anything, but it's kind of sweet having two women sing this song together instead of... With all due respect, a sex god, Marvin Gaye.
Uh-huh. You
know? Like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a song that I wanted to showcase for this feature because we're recording our covers playlist this month.
Right, right. And it fits in with the covers
theme. It does.
It does. Good point.
It kind of worked out. Yeah. And no, I'm glad to talk about it.
And it's an unconventional cover for our unconventional covers playlist.
It definitely is. And, you know, just... The idea, just hearing that somebody has covered Marvin Gaye, you're like, who are they? What's going on?
Right. But somehow they made it work.
It's not only did they make it work, this is probably one of my favorite covers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't think at the time that I thought that just because it's a sacred.
Yeah.
It's a sacred thing. But no, I'm glad that we went back and that we did this.
Yep. Likewise. Thank you.
Yeah, this is good stuff. Thanks for listening. Both our Spotify playlist and our Silly Little Podcast are updated and released around the first of each month. recorded every month in the warm and cozy hug of the OML Studios in downtown Manchester, Richmond, Virginia.
If you enjoy our podcast, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast and subscribe to our finished ordered playlist on Spotify by searching for In the Distance Oblivious.
You can visit our podcast home on the internet at itdo.name. Email us questions or suggestions at music@itdo.name.
Thanks to Woodford Reserve Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey for help in recording this month.
Our theme music is from Red Eye by E's Jammy Jams, and we find a lot of great background music from Blue Dot Sessions. And all of our music credits are listed in our show notes.
Thanks to Hell Songs.
Thanks to Jackie Wilson.
Thanks, Joe.
And thanks, Frank.
Please keep listening. Tell your friends.